You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
When Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. And it doesn't matter where you are. Tell me the story of Jesus. But listen to this one. Watch the words. This really is a Christmas song. It is. Thank you all so much, and you can be seated. Brother Leland's coming with some announcements. Then we have one more quick song.
That's good singing. It's good playing. That sounded so good. I'm glad we got that fixed. That's good. Welcome to the Rec Room. How many of you, this is the first time you've ever been to Rec Room? All right. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do, if you will. Keep your hands up. We want to give you, what color is the card tonight? Blue card. On this card, if you'll fill this card out and drop it in the purple box on the way out, then we'll see that you start getting a Loops newsletter that tells you something about Loops, and also we'll tell you what's going on at the Rec Room. Speaking of going on at the Rec Room, on the 23rd, of this month, we're having the Rec Room Christmas party. Now, how many of you been to a Rec Room Christmas party? Well, not many. We had turnover since last year, hadn't? Who was telling me? Somebody's in, where one of the guys is in Idlewood. Right yonder. Yeah, what did you win at the $25? I need that back. We do a lot of door prizes at the Recreant. And because we got so many people that will be here from out of town and so forth, we just we'll give just cards, money, Walmart cards, this type of thing. The first year we started out doing that, we had people donate new gifts, and one of the guys in Clover House won a Barbie set. I ragged that guy until at the next meeting he got up and he said, all my little girl wanted for Christmas was a Barbie set. And said, I didn't have the money to get her one. And God let me win a Barbie set. And I kept my mouth shut from then on. God's got a way of doing those things. And so, but we try to give gifts you can use, and you feel free if you want to trade them with somebody. But we're going to try to raise and have a lot of those gift cards. We'll just have a drawing. When everybody comes in, they'll get a ticket with a number on it, and we'll have one in the bowl that matches that. And we're going to have some great music. Charles always brings in some good music for us. And we're just going to have a good time of fellowship. A lot of goodies. Our ladies and people that work with that always have something good back there. But they'll have some extra special things. And if you're from out of town, we want you to have a good Christmas with us. I know you'll miss being home, and so we'll try to make it the best we can for you. So 23rd, that's 3 weeks from tonight. Now, that purple box that I was telling you about dropping this card into, has got another function. That's the Rec Room Assistance Fund. We don't pass a plate at the Rec Room, but we have that box that anybody that would like to give to help somebody that needs help, you drop it in that box. Anything that goes in that box never goes for coffee, it never goes for Cokes, it never goes for donuts. It goes to help people. And over the years, we've been able to help in a lot of different ways. Twice tonight, I've been approached by someone and said, I've got this need or that need. And we have three ex-inmates that make those decisions on how that money is used. One is sick. One, I don't know where they are tonight, maybe working. He was by the office yesterday morning. But Rick, would you stand up, please, at the back? This is Rick Goxett, and Rick is one of our board members on taking care of that money. So you check with him. He's the guy with the big dollars. But anyhow, and he may feel like that he needs to talk to one of the other members if they're not here now, but just find out. He'll let you know. We don't loan any money. We're not trying to start a savings account. We're trying to use that money, but we're trying to use it wisely. We don't want to waste it, but we do want to use it. So anyhow, you check with him with your need, and please don't do this. Don't go up and say, hey, I need some help. Well, that could be anything from a kick and rear end to $100. We don't know. So be specific. Say, I'm going to need X amount for this prescription or whatever it may be, birth certificate or ID or gas money or whatever the case may be. Just be specific about that when you talk to him about it, and then he'll tell you that. Saturday morning, best breakfast in town. we missed a week of rec room. We missed a week of breakfast. So we're going to just kick it off good come Saturday morning, right? All right. So we look forward to that. 9 o'clock. And like I say, it's the breakfast is free, and you just pitch till you win at the breakfast. Again, let me ask you on our butt cans that we've got sitting outside that you just put cigarette butts in them. Don't put paper. We got waste baskets for that. Don't put drink containers. And even in the waste baskets, be sure and empty your drink container before you put it in there. Because tonight after you're gone, there'll be people up here cleaning up and trying to get things ready. And so you help us if you can. Now, I've said all that. Doesn't this church look pretty? Somebody's done a lot of work. And I think this lady had most of it, was responsible for it. Kathy, this is beautiful. It really is. And things like this don't happen. I mean, it takes work and a lot of expense, a lot of planning. And so if you like it, stop tonight and say, hey, that looks great. You did a great job. Have a good time at the rec room. We'll be out of here in a little bit, but we're going to have a good time. Thank you for coming. God bless you, and we're going to have another song.
Now you may ask me how I know my Lord is real. You may doubt the things I say. Aren't the lady? They sound so pretty tonight. Thank y'all. Appreciate it. Dolores and Jolene.
Very good. That was great. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke. Now, if you don't have a Bible and like to have one, raise your hand and we'll get you one. All right, we got them coming. Just keep it up till you get one. Now, let me say this about those Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, you need one. So why don't you just let that be the Rec Room's gift to you? Just feel free to take that Bible, write your name in it, and keep it. Don't leave home with that. I want to talk to you tonight about the gospel. And we live in some really confusing times. There's every type of religion and religious ideas going. We get it from every direction, television, the internet. A lot of confusion. This is a rough time. I worry about my grandkids and my great grandkids. There's so many voices pulling so many different ways to them. We teach things in our school that are anti-Jesus Christ. And we teach them in the best of schools. I'm not talking about somebody started a devil school over here. I'm talking about just in the public school. And we're teaching evolution. We're teaching that you can't pray. Now, I'm going to tell you what about that school prayer. As long as they have tests, I'm guaranteeing you they're having prayer. Yeah. You may not be praying out loud, but you'll be praying, see. But the word gospel, and we hear people say, brother, I'm preaching the gospel. And one guy said, I'm preaching the gospel. And the next guy said, I'm preaching the gospel. And you listen to both of them, and they're preaching two different things. And like the fella told me one time, he said, we can't both be right when we disagree, but we can both be wrong. So keep that in mind. Just because two people disagree doesn't mean one's right. Both can be wrong. We know that both can't be right when they disagree, but they both can be wrong. So Jesus stood up in the book of Luke, chapter 4, in the synagogue. This is how he started his public ministry after his baptism. And in verse 18, this is what he said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. I'm going to stop right even though it's the middle of the sentence for this reason. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. He's in the synagogue, and look at verse 17. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If you went back to Isaiah chapter 61, and this is where he's reading from, Isaiah 61, and since you got a Bible, we'll take the time to run over and look at it. Very first verse. And here's what Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The word good tidings, which simply means good news, is how Christ called the gospel. So the gospel just means good news about something. And we find that Christ, when he preached the gospel, and when he sent his disciples out to preach the gospel, they didn't preach the same gospel that Paul ended up preaching years later. While you're still in that book of Luke, turn to chapter 9. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 6, he said, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, here's what's kind of interesting about that. Those of you that read your Bible know this. At that point in time, they didn't have a clue about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, look back up in verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The good news is the good news of the kingdom. When Christ announced that close to the end of his public ministry, he finally told his disciples, after he saw that the people were rejecting him, he said, I'm going to have to die. And the best of his disciples, a guy by the name of Peter, who preached some great messages and saw a lot of souls saved and wrote two books in the New Testament, jumped up and said, no, you're not. That's not what's going to happen. That's not the way we do it. And in fact, then Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. All the disciples fled when Christ was crucified. And they weren't looking forward to the crucifixion. And in fact, Paul, who was saved in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, preached. He was called the apostle to the Gentiles. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, and we're going to look at a couple of two or three verses there. But just go to the right and go to Romans, and then go to 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then you come right up on Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7, it said, Paul wrote this book, and he said, and Paul's at Jerusalem, checking out the other disciples, the apostles. And he said, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that's Gentiles, that's the uncircumcised, and as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. Here we have the gospel of, not to, gospel of circumcision, the gospel of uncircumcision. That they were both dealing with something different to different people. Go back to the first chapter of the book of Galatians, and you'll see that there were people perverting the gospel. Verse 6 says this, Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now notice what Paul said. He said, but lo, we are an angel of heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And just so we might not forget it, he said, as we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. The gospel became very important. So important that Paul said, you change this, and I'm going to pray God's curses on you. Let that man, let me tell you what he was saying. He said, if you start messing with the gospel, let that man go to hell. That's exactly what he's talking about. Let him be accursed. Now let's find out what this gospel is that Paul is so adamant about. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians, back to the left now, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 1. And this is where we're going to be for a little bit. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And here's what he delivered. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, here's the gospel. It includes four things that Christ did. And it doesn't include anything that you and I do. Notice this. Here's the gospel. He said that he preached. Number one, Christ died. Now that's negative. Christ died. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but do you realize that took a miracle? Because God can't die. Christ, there was no way that Christ could have died normally. Because he is sinless. The Bible said, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Reason we have death is because of sin. Christ had never sinned. Death can't touch him. This is going to take a miracle. The fact that Christ died was going to take a miracle. Number two, Christ died for our sins. That's also negative. Now that's why he could die, because of mine and your sins. He paid for those sins. This is how 2 Corinthians 5:21 said it. Paul said, for he hath made him to be sin for us, and he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ became sin that you and I might become righteous. And I'm going to tell you this. That's the only way you and I will ever have any righteousness. The old prophet said all our righteousnesses, stack them all up together, add them together, start writing on the yellow pad, all our righteousness. He said all of our righteousnesses, plural, count them, are as filthy rags. Not a good one in there. We are, as Job, and God told Satan, Job's the best man on earth. But you know what Job said? He said, I abhor myself. That means I hate myself. He didn't say, boy, I got to get my self-esteem up. He said, I hate myself. For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the only way we can get it. That's the only way we can have it. Third point. He was buried. Christ was buried. Christ died. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. That's negative. Buried. By the way, in both of you said it was all according to Scripture. That means God did it by the book. Hey. He was buried. Some of you have taken some long drives from a graveyard. That's a lonely trip when you've left a loved one there. That's a heartache. That's a hole in your heart with a close loved one that'll never be filled. Shouldn't be. Won't be. Never be plumbed up. They buried Christ. The disciples had already fled before they got him on the cross. And then after that, even after he rose, you know what Peter said? He said, I'm going back and get a job. Peter had been a fisherman. When he said, I go fishing, it's not like you and I that we go out here because that's recreation, that's fun, that's a vacation time, that's a hobby. When he said, I go fishing, he's talking about, I'm going back to work. It's not worth it. I'm not getting involved in this. We didn't make it. Didn't work. He was buried. That's negative. Number four, Christ arose. That's positive. That's positive. The gospel is three-fourths negative. But the last fourth is positive. See, it's not how you start. It's how you end. See? Christ arose. It was a new day for all of God's people. He arose. The grave couldn't hold him. Our sins were paid for. God accepted the payment. Christ got up. everything in your life tonight may be negative. Oh, how some of us have failed so many times. Everything in your life may seem unfair. Everything in your life may seem miserable. I think sometimes some of the happiest seasons of the year bring some of the most misery, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. But let me tell you something. I don't care how much a loser you are. I don't care how much misery you're carrying. I don't care how negative life is to you. You trust the one that got up, you'll be a winner. Paul said it this way. I've always loved this verse, but he said, "I reckon." So I knew Paul was a Texan when he said it like that. But he said, "I reckon that the suffering of this present time shall not be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For this 70, this 50, 60, 70 years, or whatever length of time we have on this earth." I noticed in paper, I think this morning, somebody died 100 years old. If you made it to 100, let me tell you, that's not life. If you know Jesus Christ, if you're following the one that arose, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I remember reading a story about a missionary that had been in Australia for years and was coming home. He was having to retire. His age, his old body was wearing out. They were bringing him back to the States. And he came back on the same ship that Teddy Roosevelt came back on. And Teddy Roosevelt, who was president at that time, had been over big game hunting. And when the ship landed, there was a big entourage waiting to greet the president and all of the big game trophies that he had killed. And the band was playing and they were recognizing him and the banners were flying. And a little missionary was kind of standing on the side of the ship waiting for it to put out the gangplank so he could walk down. And he said, "God, this is not fair." He said, "Lord, man, I've been over there doing ministry, missionary work, trying to win people to Jesus. I've been over there 25 years. And this just not fair. He goes over there just to have a good time and to kill big game. And man, and the crowds are out honoring him and praising him. And this is just not fair, because here I am, nobody's standing out here waiting to greet me." And he said he heard this small voice say, "Son, you ain't home yet." One of these days we're going to be home. There is a home because he rose. He died. He died for mine and your sin. He was buried. And he arose. He paid our debt. I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And tonight, you have never trusted this Jesus. Maybe for the first time in your life, you have really heard exactly what the gospel is. I'm afraid many times that we talk about things and assume everybody knows them. But for the first time, you know that Jesus Christ died. He died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again. And he became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. I want to offer you that gift. We're coming into the time of giving. I want to offer you that gift of salvation, that gift of eternal life. And you'd say, Leland, would you pray for me? I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ in my life. Would you just slip up your hand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Real quickly. I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? Would you do it? Anyone? Real quick. I see your hand. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? Before we pray. I've never been saved. Now let me cover this one more time. I see your hand, sir. God bless you. The Bible says, and listen carefully, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice, it's in the heart. You know what it is in the mind. Now you get it in the heart, and you ask Jesus Christ to save you. To wrap it up, to simplify it, three verses later, he said, for whosoever, that means you or me, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. What I want you to do right now, those of you lift your hand and those of you didn't, want you in your heart to say, Lord Jesus, I trust you as best I know how. I believe you died for me. You paid for my sins. I trust you as my Savior, as best I know how. Now, if you mean that, I want you to come in a moment and say, I've trusted Christ. I want us to stand with heads bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. And if you want to trust Christ, if you prayed that, I want you to come right now and say, I'm trusting Christ. I put my faith in Him. Would you come?
We often miss
John.
When you close your earthly story, will you join?
Would you come? Say, I trust Christ tonight. I want to be saved.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home waiting in the sky. Up in glory, they enjoy their holy birth. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better to the living, are you ready to meet your King? Have you trusted in our Savior? Can you join with those who sing? Will the circle unbroken by and
with our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, and we're those of you tonight that you say, Leland, for the first time in my life, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Tonight, I put my faith in Him to take me to heaven. While heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, would you just slip up your hand? I did that tonight. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Yeah. All right. One more. God bless you. Anyone else? I did that tonight. You can slip them down once I've recognized you. Yes. Our precious Heavenly Father, one day we'll meet one another in heaven. Father, there's a glory that we can't even comprehend. We thank you. Father, I've never understood how that just with our heart believing what you've written down and trusting what you said, that you change our direction in this life from going to hell to going to heaven in a moment. In just a twinkling of an eye, we go from lost to saved, from hell to heaven. Thank you, you made it so simple. Thank you that we don't need a GED. Thank you that we don't need any kind of education, and we don't have to have wealth or success. We'd be the biggest failure, we'd be the biggest flop, and trust you, and you'll make us a winner. Thank you for that. Father, bless these that have trusted you tonight. Bless these that have come. Help us to just have a great week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The bar is open. Get something to drink. Visit with us.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.